session number 9024, reel 1.
Good. Well, you joined the Navy in 20th
of March, 1910.
Yeah. As a boy, it must have been. Yes.
That's right.
Where did you go?
Sent me down to Devonport.
Devonport, what, the Impregnable?
Impregnable, yeah.
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 What did your father do?
My father was a coach builder. I was in a coach building trade.
Yes.
So was my brothers.
Yeah.
And he was such a hard taskmaster. My brother was on the Vernon. He was 11 months older than me.
Yes.
I joined as a boy. And the other one, a bodymaker or coach builder, he was on the meat boat running from South America to Rotterdam.
Yeah.
And the young one was on the Galway Castle.
Yeah.
And the bloody lot went down. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting off 80.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want me to get on with now?
what made you join the Navy? Well, your brother was in already, I suppose.
Yes, this sort of paved the way.
That's
what I joined to.
Yeah. What do you remember of the Impregnable?
Oh, she stunk down the olive deck. Awful it was, yeah. Yeah. Dirty old thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And petty officer used to carry a bit of rope. If you walk by, they used to hit you.
Just
for the sake of it, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. From there, when we went to see...
What was the food like in the Impregnable?
Oh, rotten. And then we went on a cruiser, 4 cruisers. We went round up to Norway. I went to Trondheim, Stavanger, Mold, and Christiania. Yeah, and then we come back. And
this was a boys' cruise, was it?
Yeah, boys' cruise. Mm. And eventually, when I became 18, I was sent to Chatham Barracks, Chatty Chatham.
Yeah. Did you choose to be a Chatham rating?
No. You were sent there.
Yeah.
Dirty, filthy hole. And cut a long story short, I picked up then... was a destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
Sent down the Standard Creek, some old torpedo boats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cat. 99 and 100, all them things. Turtleback, they were.
Yes.
Little old ones. Standard Creek. And we used to go out there, do a bit of rushing around and come back. Eventually went back to Chatham. And I was then sent up to pick a brand new ship up.
Mm.
That's a destroyer, one of the old class.
Hell.
I was on the Louis.
Yes.
Leonidas, Laertes,
yes.
Lysander.
Mm.
And the Amphion, she was our leader.
Leader, yes.
Before the Arethusa.
Mm.
Right. We came down to Harwich, and we used to go out and manoeuvre and all this business here.
Yeah.
Well, when war broke out in August,
yes.
We went out with Amphion, and we sighted a German liner called the Königin Luise.
Mm-hmm.
And she was slinging out mines, and they was shackled together.
Yeah.
Well, we sunk her,
mm-hmm.
picked up some of her survivors, and we were coming back the next morning at 5:40, and she had a couple of mines wrapped round her. 5:40, up she went, see her go down, and we picked some of these jerrys up, picked up the day before, and went back again, and we landed them at Shotley Barracks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to cut a long story short,
mm-hmm.
after a while we went up again. Went up and we used to come down by a Ligaland bite.
Yeah.
When we came down, we were supposed to be so many miles away. Instead of that, we was close up there. And Jerry nearly knocked shit out of us. Oh, there was a ship of three, a final ship called the Mainz, M-I-I-N-Z.
Yes.
And we fired loads of torpedoes at them, but all our torpedoes was going underneath her. Only one hit her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she sunk and all that business, and we got back to our edge. And eventually been on the other stunts again, you know, going out sweeping down. Yeah. Then the next stunt that we had was the Dogger Bank and the Blucher was sunk.
Yes. Yeah.
The Blucher was sunk. There's a Von der Tann, Blucher, two others. Anyway, the Blucher was sunk. And Beatty on the Lion, that was it. She'd go around in circles like that until she closed the watertight doors.
Yeah.
We all went into Queensbury.
Mm.
Right, that was that. So eventually we used to wear the junior ship and to look after us, drift us off for Yarmouth.
Yeah.
Eh? Of course, Jerry used to shove a mine aboard, never torpedo them, and blow them up. They used to sink. Well, the junior destroyer skipper, he only got that job. Ours was a junior bloke. And he was such a... Well, he couldn't navigate from here to there. He couldn't navigate a turn around a piss pot. He couldn't. And we were supposed to be, one day, we were supposed to be 16 miles off of Yarmouth. And you know where we was? 16 miles off of the Dutch coast. Listen, I'm not lying to you.
Gore.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be any fun, really. It sounds funny now, but it's no fun then.
Now, and we had everybody there looking for us. When they found us, they whipped him out like that and put him on a ship in the harbour. Yeah. A kind of tour ship. Then we had another skipper. He was a touring bloke and one bad sort of fella, but he could navigate all right, but he couldn't handle a destroyer, put a fish up alongside him. Anyway, after that we sent up the Dardanelles, and that's the Honourable Adair Hall, his name was. And we used to have to go past the Suez Canal, Suvla Bay, and go up there, and the trenches went up the hill like that.
Yeah.
And we used to have to flank, and fire into the in the trenches of the Turks. Anyway, cut long story short, one night we was in. We drifted into Suvla Bay, and half was on the shore, and half was up there. There was 40 naval seamen and one petty officer. And Johnny Turk was shelling shite out of us. And we were making ourselves the size of mice, you know, like that. The stokers all got off before. Yeah. And cut long story short, we had a picket boat in the morning, daybreak, saying, jump for it. We jumped for it. Some didn't, some didn't, some went in the water. Anyway, and then they put us on a ship called the Irresistible for a while now. Then to take us off, they put me on an old destroyer called the Ribble to keep us all together, because we was used to destroyers.
Yeah.
So to cut my story short, I was on this, and she was nearly in pieces. She was rusty and Christ knows what. And, right, then they got us all together. A ship called the Andania, Cunard, was coming home. And they all put us on here, all the crews. They put me up there where we were stupid about. And of course, she had one of her propellers a bit dodgy. Of course, we was... had the wind up, you know, big ice ship it was on. We used to be destroyed going fast. And as we come home right through the Mediterranean, to the Biobiscuit. We had no sleep. We were scared out of our lives sleeping in torpedoes. I had no escort at all.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
And we got into Devonport. And they took us all. And thank Christ for that. Anyway, we went up to London, went back to Chatham. And they sent me on another ship. Another destroyer called the Midge, M-I-D-G. He was another fine, he was. Took us over our own minefield. His name was Forrester. Forrester. All right, with a bottle of gin slung round his neck. And we've had all that business here. And eventually, I was sick. Bought hospital ship. And they rammed an old bark, but upside down it was floating there. They had air locking there. I thought it was a sub. Called rammed all a stem and Christ knows what. At any rate, they were going to repair her, and she was too expensive to repair. So they sent us, kept us again, and sent us on another destroyer, the W class. Westminster, Winchelsea. I was on the Ryanick, W-R-Y-N-E-C-K. Right. The ward finished. And we went up to Rosyth, and all of a sudden we had a sooner come proceed before dispatch to Russia. This was Churchill.
Yes.
Churchill. Right, we go out there, and we go to Revel first, then to Helsinki. I mean, Danzig, all that business. Then we go around in near Petrograd Bay. It's a place called Saskar. And we ain't gonna there. And it's nearly all daylight then. No night, no. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to cut a long story short, and now and again, believe something hit the phones. You know, it was the Russians firing at us. Of course, we were sleeping on the other because it was so hot. Anyway, Churchill said this: all ships surrendering, all Russian ships surrendering, would get a free pardon and all this business. Right. All the officers put on clean collars and ties and Christ knows what. I was a gun lad, two leading seamen, see. I mentioned I kept the form's gun. So we all went there. We were all steaming up like this and turning round, falling, to come down in the centre. And all of a sudden, a great big battleship opened up with triple 14 inch. Bloody near blew us out the border. You ought to see the Navy scoot. You never see such a thing in all your life like it. Any rate, get my pipe here. Yeah, only have a cat there.
Yeah. You don't let him in?
Yeah, let him in. Yeah. Go on, open the door. Blackie, nice. Come on. Blackie. Are you there? Come in.
Yeah.
And, right, so sit down and take my notes for him. Come on. I'll let him sit your kidneys, ain't he, you know? So we came back again, and then we was stuck there, and we couldn't understand it. Two brand new destroyers come out in the N class. Well, I was one of those that surrounded the German fleet down.
Yes.
When they went down to Harwich, and all the submarines went down to Harwich.
Yes.
But the big ships went to Scapa Flow.
Yes, that's right, yes.
You remember when they were sinking themselves?
Yeah.
Mm. Right, all that business I've been doing. So to cut a long story short then, we couldn't understand it. The Russians had plenty of gold. You get a golden sovereign. I did myself out there, bought fur, their business. My missus. And the Russians accepted the Germans to man their submarines, or think they're in Edicup. Eh? We couldn't understand it. The night time, these brand new destroyers, only two of them, was being torpedoed by Russian submarines manned by German officers. This was never published.
No.
Not a word. Mm. Never published. Right. And that went off like that. The old 55 was our biggest submarine. She had a 4-inch gun on the front. She was tied up alongside of us. We made them cocoa and handed it over the side. Eh? Give it to the boys, see, so save them not messing about there.
Yeah.
Right. Next morning, instead of reporting, she was missing. She was sunk. This is intended what I tell her, the L-55, our big submarine. Right. After a while, we came back. Come back to England, and we tied up at Kingston, under the fourth bridge, just on the left here.
Rosyth.
Yeah, Rosyth.
Mm.
Not on the Rosyth side, the other
Queensbury side.
Mm. That's right. And there was a long pier there. And all the destroyers were tied up there because the war had finished. We'd just come back from Russia.
Yes.
Right, all of a sudden, we had another order. Proceed with full dispatch to Russia. So, right, I proceed and all the boys there. Come, we are not going back to Russia again. The bloody war's finished, they were saying. So, went over the side. Coppers tried to stop us, and we said about the coppers, and the coppers run. Eh? So we got down to Edinburgh, and we fought bars. We come down to Euston. We was arrested by all the wide division of London police. They were saying, "Don't cause no trouble, Jack. Don't cause no trouble." Well, I'd been through the mill. I might tell you one way or another. I even got blood money for the Congenoese and the Blucher. I think it was about tenpence or something, anything like that in them days. Anyhow, I was educationally and professionally part of a petty officer. I was a leading seaman gunner too. They sent me out to Bermuda to fire on the seas because we couldn't work out on the submarines. We couldn't fire from a big ship in the channel. Mm. Anyway, that was finished. So we got down to Euston, and I was court-martialed, got 6 months. And I told the youngsters to go back. They said to me, "Why didn't you tell the youngsters to go back?" I said, "Well, they was irresponsible." I said, "They just want a chance to get out." I said, "I was in a responsible position." I said, "That's why I told the kids to go back." I said, "But they didn't. They wanted to get out of it." Of course they did. They sent me to Perth Jail. I done my time up there. 6 months. And come out, I had a terrible nervous breakdown, you know. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't do nothing. I was like this. And I couldn't, when I come out, they discharged me when they were a senior. And I got £1.15 a week, that was 50% pension. I had two kiddies. Anyway, I went to work with my father. Because I never lost enough working days, I lost it in 3 years. First they knocked a pound off, then left me ten bob the last year, and left me like that. Yet I know men who's collapsed in training, never left this country, he's getting a bloody pension now. But do you want me? Yeah. And my father was a coach boy, he was all in the coach boy in trade. Yeah. That was that. We lost 46 ships in the Dardanelles.
Yep.
46 ships. And when we evacuated there, they were going on shooting mules in the air. That cost 70 guineas a time. Now, inside the bacon, they were pouring petrol on like that and burning it. And we was on stinking salt pork when they destroyed bloody Mustard. Actually, so, yeah. How did you know old Reg Keane?
I don't actually. He let me know about you. I mean, I was asking around.
Oh yeah.
And he and I only know him because he contacted me because of this.
Yes, well that was that. So I got work for my father again. That's how. Of course, I never lost enough working days. That's how they took my pension away. Yeah, I don't get a light. I've been to the mill too. Yeah, I couldn't sleep in a bed. I couldn't walk across the road. Terrible thing. You were like that all the time.
It was your rugged war time, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I've been to the mill. All in all, sea, bloody trouble. The first day of war, the Conjunuies. Yeah, that was the main thing of that name, Conjun Louise, when she was laying mines.
Yeah.
I've been through it. I think that's about all to say, yeah. I think it's 1920 they discharged me, I went before a medical board and all that business. We've only been down here 2 years, the 6th of last September. We moved down here. We come from Mitcham in Surrey. My brother, he was only 11 months older than me. That's the one on the burner.
Yes.
And me, of course, I joined the boy. And next one, Fred, he was a good body maker, he was. That's when they had wooden screens on the cars. And he was coming from South America, was carrying meat to Rotterdam. He got sunk. The young one, and the youngest one, he wasn't in the coast raid at all. He was on the Galway Castle. He was sunk too. I'm the only one left. My mother and father and that. Yes, I worked at Rolls Royce, Jack Barclays, coach building. That's a 1910 Silver Cloud. That's my governor sitting in there. That's in Battersea Park, but it's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you sorry you left the coach building?
Eh?
Were you sorry you left the coach building?
Eventually I went back into
yes,
it again.
Yeah.
But I'm a coach trimmer, do the interiors.
Ah, yes.
See? All the others was body makers,
yes.
See? The other boys. And painters and that. His father died and left him £100,000. His name was Ferguson Wood. That's in Battersea Park, out the Chelsea Bridgeway. I know whether you know it.
Not really, no.
What part do you come from again?
Cheltenham.
Cheltenham, now where's that?
Gloucestershire.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of halfway between Birmingham and Bristol.
Oh, yeah, Bristol. Oh. I always remember when we was around Newport, Monmouthshire, just after the start of the war, we had all the detonators and Chrysler and Torbys and Griffin. They were just like 21 inch, they were. And we carried two lots. And this silly. Officer, it was only early, of course, we wouldn't do it after the war, it's been some time, showing some people around there. And nobody done, he was showing them around the fire, and he fired his torpedo. He went and blew the arse off an Italian steamer. Yeah, in Newport Docks, yeah.
Must have been popular.
Yeah, they are. I say, you've never heard this published, we lost 46 ships of the Dardanelles over Churchill. You never heard a word published. Hardly a word about it. You never heard about these German officers, submarine officers, men in the Russian submarines. You never heard them words, did you?
Yeah.
And they are. Yeah, I can tell you something. Yeah. but I don't think there's much more I can tell you.
What do you think of the officers you came across?
Well, some officers were good, very good men.
Yeah.
Intelligent men.
Mm.
But others, as I say, they couldn't navigate a tour around a pit spot. They couldn't. Tours around over their own minefield. Very named Forrester. He could fetch a destroyer up alongside, hand it, lovely. But he couldn't navigate.
Yeah.
You know, we used to say, if you see a ship, you go up and say, where are you from and where are you bound? All this, to get his own position. Honestly, my, get out of this seat, never get out of this seat alive.
Because you were sent into destroyers, weren't you? I mean, you didn't have any option about joining destroyers at all, did you?
No, once you've got in them, they like to keep it together like a submarine crew.
Yeah. Did you like destroyers? Did you like destroyers? Were you glad to be in destroyers rather than big ships?
I was inflexible only a little while. Not a little while. The Berwick, a little while when I was a boy. But when you get destroyed, you've got what they call hard lads.
Yes.
Sixpence a day extra.
That's a lot of money when you probably your basic rate was 1 in 5 or something like that.
And I was passed for a lead and seaman education and professionally for a belly officer. And I was passed for a gun layer too, that was 10 pence a day.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money them days.
Yes.
Now it's wristwatch navy now. Able seaman, £25 a bloody week. Tis honestly. Yes, young Reg next door, he goes with one of the daughters. But he's a wireless operator, he gets more than that. But another one, an ordinary able seaman, he gets 25 quid a week. No hammocks.
Yeah.
They sleep in these kind of spring bunks.
Did you like hammocks?
You got used to
them.
You
had hammocks in your destroyers, did you?
But you were never allowed to use them. I told my doctor down here, he actually used to breathe your breath, you used to condense out to the coal steel and destroy it. You used to lay in it. Well, men were going out with TB and bronchitis every week. And it was terrible, it was too. I had terrible bronchitis and used to spit over the side. Well, I've got it now. I used to drink, we had no doctors aboard. I used to drink Sloan's liniment. That's with yellow sugar. That's all. It was alive too. I went as strong as I am now. I'm pretty active now for my age.
You are.
I give my wife a hand, you know, scrubbing and doing a bit of this and a bit of that. Bit of a cleaning up. I don't think there's much more I can tell you. I come out in 1920. For 3 years I lost my pension, that's it.
What made you cut and run for it from...
What do you mean when we...
When you were ordered back to Russia. Just because you were ordered back to Russia again.
Well, we had enough of it out there.
Yes.
We're getting shelled and Christ knows what out there. When they went to church, they wanted to send us again. Our own war had finished, mind you.
Yes.
It's finished before we went out there the first time.
How many of them were there?
Oh, quite a lot. Quite a lot, yeah. And some of the men they'd never seen from that day to this. I was leading the seaman. I was in a bit of a responsible position, I suppose, and not these youngsters hanging there. I don't think it's much of a lot, I can tell you.
What were conditions like in the impregnable when you joined up?
Oh, well, the olive deck stunk like hell. But there were bloody mice and rats and Christ knows what. I always remember we had a big dish of rhubarb there, and one hungry kid, he was going like scooping it up there. He picked it up like it was a dead mouse. I always remember, but